Despite Treasurer Josh Frydenberg admitting in his budget speech last week that women have been disproportionately impacted during the recession, women and economists are saying that the budget has ignored and failed to make any big policy changes in areas that really matter for women. At the height of the pandemic this year, women were 53% of the unemployed workforce. The government's 2020 Women's Economic Security Statement outlined a $240 million package over 5 years aimed at boosting women's participation. However, Amanda Robbins, Managing Director of Equity Economics, says it is not enough.
So I think the real concern with what they're calling the Women's Statement and this package is really just the size of the $240 million, which might sound a lot to all of us when we think about our own context. That sounds like a lot of money. But when you put it into the context of a $500 billion response to COVID-19, it really, it barely is a rounding error, the kind of attention that's being paid to the particular needs of women.
In fact, the $240 million is just one-third of 1% of the whole budget deficit. Amanda Robbins says that the COVID-19 recession has had the most impact on the caring economy and service sectors, both of which are largely made up of women.
When you look at the large-scale stimulus that the government's providing for the response to COVID-19, actually it's predominantly focused on sectors that aren't those that are impacted by women. So that's why when you think about the whole budget, There is a real need to think about the distributional impact of whether we're targeting the right sectors for those who are going to have the most lasting effects of COVID-19. So, for instance, there's a lot of spending that will go to construction, it will go to infrastructure, energy, mining, and these are predominantly male employers, these sectors, whereas the sectors that we know are going to have sustained impacts are those with a high proportion of female employment. And in fact, they make up over 60% of our economy now. That's the services sector. So health, education, hospitality, tourism. That's now more than two-thirds of our economy. And yet we find the budget disproportionately focusing on these much more traditional male-dominated industries. So whilst there's a women's statement, what it really just does is draw together the very minimal consideration that's really been given to the distributional impact of COVID-19.
But as the economy slowly recovers, women are falling behind in returning to work.
So we know women actually participate less in the workforce than men at the moment. And that did actually improve for some time, as did pay equity for a period there. But actually the reality is that a lot of those gains have been lost during COVID-19. So it is really important that we actually don't just look at how do we stimulate business and get business confidence back up, but we actually think what are the constraints to boosting participation in our workforce. And the biggest constraint is those that women face, because they're actually participating at far lower rates than men. And so when we think about, well, what constrains them going back to work, partly it's pay equity. Often it's just not financial for them to do it. And that's largely because of the cost of childcare.
Therese Edwards, CEO of the National Council of Single Mothers and Their Children, says the government needs to lower fees and restrictions on the childcare subsidy.
How do we make childcare universally accessible? We look at the fees and we stop these really tight restrictions that say unless you do and operate in the way that we expect you to operate, you will not get access to affordable childcare. And the rules are pretty tough for that on-call work as well. So it was pretty hard to phone up the last minute and say, look, I don't normally have childcare on this particular day, but gee, I've been offered three or four shifts. Would love to get my child in. And it was not responsive to the workplace demand.
Therese Edwards also thinks that the decrease in job seeker has caused women more stress and that the budget has done nothing to alleviate this stress.
The coronavirus supplement just kept families afloat. And then we roll forward just pre-budget to the 25th of September, that coronavirus supplement, that powerful impact, was reduced by $300. So what that lifesaver has just deflated and now everyone is in a bit of turmoil. So then we went into the budget hoping that this budget would have a bit of a gendered lens, noting what, you know, it was pretty obvious what was going in, what was happening before the budget. But unfortunately, it was a gendered blind budget. So it just missed the mark.
But how did we get here? It wasn't always like this. In 1984, the Hawke government introduced the Women's Budget Statement, a budget paper that required each department to outline the impacts of policies specifically on women. But in 2014, the Abbott government stopped the Women's Budget Statement. In 2018, the government introduced the Women's Economic Security Statement. But Monica Costa, Senior Research Fellow at the School of Economics, Finance and Property at Curtin University, says that it is not the same as what it used to be.
More recently, the coalition has begun to launch what they call the Women's Economic Security Statement, which is an important step. But the problem is that it's not linked to the budget. It was spoken in the last budget. It was spoken off in the speech by the treasurer, but it is not linked with the budget, and it sort of suggests that there isn't a link with the analysis, that there is no process behind it to improve the way decisions are made.
Amanda Robbins agrees, saying that more analysis is needed in the budget.
But we also want the budget papers to include all those distributional considerations, so the impact on women, the impact on different size and shape families, the different impacts on regions. All that information once used to be in the budget, but has disappeared, and that's a real loss of accountability, I think.
Monica Costa believes that if a more thorough analysis was done, the budget would have been more effective in helping women in the economy.
One of the first things to say is that it would probably have resulted in a different budget, because a gender analysis of the current COVID situation, the experience, what we're living at the moment, would suggest that women are disproportionately impacted by COVID recession. And that means that the kinds of measures that you need to develop in order to address their impact, the impact on older women, needs to be different. So potentially you can't just invest on infrastructure, right? You need to devise policies that address women's circumstances. It would also mean that you would think about ways of alleviating women's disproportionate role in unpaid care work. So you would think about different policies, because you would understand better how these policies impact on many women.